Our scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 7 verses, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that the earthly tent which is in our house is torn down. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, shall not be found naked. For indeed we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, in order that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared this for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight.
Good morning. It is a blessing and a privilege to be up here once again speaking in front of you all. I'd like to welcome any visitors we have with us. We are thankful for your presence here this morning. I'm extremely happy to be up here, and I'm extremely thankful to the elders for giving me this opportunity to share a message from God's word with you all. What better way to start off this week than by singing praises to our God and edifying one another? Singing and worshiping is such a beautiful and amazing thing that God has given us, and I'm so grateful that God has given us the ability to praise him in song. And right now, at this moment, I'm especially thankful that we can spend the next several moments examining our worship and how we can give God our best praises by continuing our favorite hymns series. I really enjoyed this favorite hymn series. This is something that I personally look forward to just about every single month. I don't know what it is, but there's just something I love about really analyzing a song and breaking it down verse by verse, line by line, word by word, and just really understanding what the song really means. And not only understanding that, but understanding the background behind the song. I also love understanding the scriptural basis behind each of these hymns. It's just so fascinating to see just how rich in scripture a lot of the hymns that we sing all the time really are, that we really don't even realize. Once we take a step back and really examine it and look at it, it adds really a lot more weight to the hymn once you're able to understand the background of it and understand the purpose behind the song. And because of this favorite hymn series, it's opened the door for us to really feel the weight of each song. I think you know what I mean by that. Every single month that we have done this, it gives each hymn so much more weight and so much more impact than it originally had before. Just think back to the first Sunday of each month this year and think about what that experience is like. We see the song revealed, we spend the whole morning really breaking down the lyrics of the song and really analyzing and understanding what the words mean. Maybe the song has some kind of emotional story associated with why it was written, or maybe it has some emotional connection personally with you, and that just adds even more weight to the song. Literally the entire service is revolving around this one hymn. I mean, the entire service is a build-up to the singing of that hymn. And you know how it goes. We hear all about the song and we're ready. We're invested and we're pulled in. And at the end of the service, you see that song pop up on the screen and we couldn't be more ready to finally sing it. And when we finally sing that song, it's the grand finale of everything that really the past hour has built up to, and it sounds amazing. I mean, it's so uplifting and it's so encouraging. And every single time that has happened this year throughout this series, at least for me, at the end of every single song, I thought to myself, like, that is the best that hymn has ever sounded here. And that is the most powerful and most, like, uplifting that hymn has ever sounded here. I mean, every single time is so powerful and it is so beautiful. And you feel the energy, you feel the passion in the room that is behind the hymn whenever it happens, and it's incredible. That entire experience that we feel the first Sunday of each month is what we should strive our worship to look like. If you would turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. That whole experience that we just talked about, I mean, that is the embodiment of this passage. That is the embodiment of speaking to one another through our worship and making melody with our heart and worshiping in spirit and in truth. That is what the goal should be when we worship God. And I think we're really going to feel that powerful and uplifting experience here this morning again, because this month's hymn is the one that we're all very familiar with. It's one that we've regularly sung here at Westside for really as long as I can remember. And we all know it very well, and it really hits home with a lot of you here at Westside. And because of that, it has made our list, and rightfully so, our next hymn being "This World Is Not My Home." I'm sure you all obviously figured out this is going to be a heaven song just based on the song selection this morning and the scripture reading. Thank you to Dylan. He did an excellent job at preparing our minds for what we're going to be talking about over the next several moments, and he did a great job at directing our minds to our home above that God has laid for us. There are a lot of hymns out there about heaven. Are there a lot of hymns that at least like make mention of heaven or the idea of heaven or the idea of reaching heaven in that ballpark? You get the idea. I'd be willing to bet that if we were to take a look at every single person's top 12 list that they submitted, I'd be willing to confidently bet that every single list that was submitted at least has one song that makes mention or reference to the idea of heaven at least just once. And just flip through the hymnals, you'll find a song that mentions heaven really, really quickly. It won't take long. Heaven is a very prominent topic that we often sing about. And that's because above all else, heaven is our ultimate goal. If you would turn me to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. This idea of setting our mind on the things above and setting our mind toward heaven, this passage was an idea that Albert Brumley, the writer and composer of this hymn, it's something he understood very well and it was something he was very familiar with. Albert Brumley was born in October of 1905 near Spiro, Oklahoma, aka he was born in the middle of nowhere. He grew up in poverty. He was born to a very poor family, of sharecroppers who lived on a cotton farm. And having to help out with his family and working as a sharecropper on that farm was really all that Brumley knew throughout his early years. When it came to material things, Brumley really didn't have much. And even as he grew up into adulthood, he really didn't have a lot. But what he did have was a passion for music. And more importantly, he had a passion for God. Brumley wrote a lot of hymns and a lot of gospel songs throughout his lifetime. Some of them we all know very well and regularly sing. And something I've noticed when looking through the hymns that he wrote is they all kind of share this common theme, and that theme being heaven. One of the songs he wrote was number 436, "I'll Fly Away." We all know that song very well. It says in the chorus, "I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away." Or another song he wrote, number 678, "If We Never Meet Again." The chorus of that song says, "If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven by the side of the river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever, and where separations come no more. If we never meet again this side of heaven, I will meet you on that beautiful shore. Or another song he wrote, number 679, Jesus Hold My Hand, verse 3 of that song says, when I wander through the valley dim toward the setting of the sun, lead me safely to a land of rest, if I a crown of life have won. I have put my faith in thee, dear Lord, that I may reach the golden strand. There is no other friend on whom I can depend. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Or another song he wrote, number 686, Salvation Has Been Brought Down. And verse 3 of that song says, there's a blessed home prepared way over in glory land, in bright glory land, blessed glory land. I have trusted in his love, and now I am heaven bound. Praise his holy name, salvation has been brought down. These songs were all written by the same single person. You can clearly see through his hymns and the writings in those hymns that heaven was something that was continually on Brumley's mind. It was on his mind and it was on his heart continuously throughout his life. And I think the reason for that, a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that he really didn't have many material blessings in his life. Where he came from and his humble beginnings really focused him to redirect his focus to elsewhere, to his home above that God has prepared for us. And it is so amazing to really see the foresight that Albert Brumley had to have such an amazing passion and desire throughout his life to be with God in heaven. And that passion and that desire he had is extremely evident through the words of this hymn. And I think once we take a look at them, we'll also be able to have a greater appreciation for the home that's been prepared for us. Verse 1 of the song says, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. If you would turn with me to the book of 1 John and 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. The opening line, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. We can't love the world and also love God. That is laid out very clearly in Scripture. We can't have one foot in the door and one foot out the door. We have to understand and have the foresight to understand how futile and how temporary this earthly and this physical life is. We need to have perspective. Something we need to understand, we all know very well, but something we just also need to always keep in mind is just how evil the world is and how the world is full of evil and it's full of wickedness and none of that is from God. We should be longing to be where God is and we should be longing to draw near to God at all times, both while we're on earth and after we leave it. Verse 1 goes on to say, my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There are going to be things on this earth that we enjoy and that we treasure. And that's okay. Those things we treasure and those physical blessings, those are blessings from God. Those are gifts from God, and we should absolutely enjoy those things. We also need to understand they're temporary. Soon it'll all be gone. In the very grand scheme of things, those physical things that we treasure and that we love, they really don't matter. But what does matter is spending eternity with our Father, and that should be above all our number one priority. That should be where our heart is. The phrase comes to mind, home is where the heart is. Where's your heart at? Where's your home at? Moving on to verse 2 of the song. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. If you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. The line in verse 2, my Savior pardoned me, now I onward go. Because we have been pardoned, because we have been forgiven, we can have an assurance, and we can have a confidence to press on towards heaven, to press on towards that goal. That assurance is what allows us to keep going, and it's what pushes us, and that comes from God, and that comes from Jesus and his sacrifice. Because of Christ's sacrifice, we can be so confident as to even say that those up in heaven will be, that they're expecting us. God's mercy and his grace is the only reason that we have an entrance to heaven in the first place. And because of that grace and mercy, we press on and we strive towards that goal. If you would turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord 3 times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Verse 2 goes on to say, I know he'll take me through, though I am weak and poor. At times, we're going to experience suffering. This is something we kind of already touched upon last month. I won't spend too much time on it. But we're going to suffer. We're going to get beat down. We're going to feel weak and poor. But that doesn't matter. Because of God's endless love and infinite grace, he will take us through that home above where there is no more suffering and there is no more weakness. And then the final verse in verse 3 says, just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. If you would turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and at the end of chapter 15, starting in verse 54. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The line, the saints on every hand are shouting victory, I think that is just such a fitting line for final verse of this song, because at the end of it all, at the end of the journey, at the end of this road on this earth, we'll be able to proclaim our victory through Jesus. Death stings. Death hurts. It's a very hard thing to confront. It's it's a very grim reality, and it's oftentimes very hard to wrap our head around. But we have to accept at some point or know that we don't live forever. But the thing is that God allows us to overcome that. God allows us to overcome death. Death is not the end for us. The blood of Jesus allows us to overcome the sting of death. The sting of death bows to the power of Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus, at the end of this life, we'll be able to confidently proclaim our victory over death. Verse 3 goes on to say, "Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore." If you would turn with me to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13. Revelation 5:13, "And every created thing which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." At the end of the day, this is the goal. To be worshiping God and exalting him and praising his name forever up in heaven with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Think about the times when you've been incredibly like uplifted or encouraged or moved by just our worship here at Westside. Just think about the emotions that brought out and what that felt like. Now imagine that feeling, but 100 times better up in heaven. And that visual really doesn't do heaven justice at all. It's going to be something that is something that is beyond all human comprehension, beyond what we'll ever be able to wrap our minds around. I want to be there to experience it. I want to be there to feel that and to have that experience. It's going to be something truly wonderful, and should be something that we press on towards and we look towards every single day of our lives. And finally, the chorus of the song, you all know it very well. "O Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." If you would turn with me to the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." This is what our life on earth is about. Above all things, our main focus should be heaven. Our main focus should be that city. Our main focus should be that home above. And we need to have the foresight to be able to understand that we need to be doing God's will until we can get there. As we get ready to sing "This World Is Not My Home" in a few moments, let's really try and really make an effort to focus and understand the words of the song and understand what we're singing. I mean, we know the drill. This isn't our first rodeo. We know how it goes when we stand and we finally sing it. It's going to sound great. Every voice is going to be heard, and that's awesome. I mean, that's great, and that's an amazing thing. But is our heart into what we're singing? Are we able to confidently sing that our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue? Can we confidently sing that we don't feel at home? Can we confidently sing that we'll live eternally? Understand what we're singing. Understand what these words mean. Think about yourself. Think about what you're doing right now in your life to reach that goal. Are you trying to reach that goal? Think about what heaven's going to be like, and think about how you're living your life and if the way your life is going to bring you home. As we close and we leave here this morning, I just ask that for a moment we take a step back and we look at the bigger picture. It's very easy to get caught up in what's happening right in front of us and the worries and the cares that we have right now. But everything on this earth will one day be gone. One day it will be destroyed. And in the very grand scheme of things, it has little to no meaning. But what does have meaning is our eternal destination. What does have meaning is the prize that has set before us, and that will never be destroyed. And that's God's kingdom. It'll never pass away. Let's live every day of our lives striving to reach that prize. If you're here today and you have not put on Christ in baptism and you recognize your spiritual condition and the need to do so, we ask that you would please come forward. The water is ready, and through the waters of baptism, you are redeemed and you are forgiven. And if you have been baptized but have failed to live the life you should, understand that we are here to help you, and we are here to bear that burden with you. But more importantly, God will help you, and God will forgive you if you make that request known to him. Whatever your need might be, we ask that you would come forward now as we stand and sing.